From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled God's Sovereign Purpose, part of this series in the 8th chapter of Romans. The text is verses 28 through 30, where the Apostle Paul sets forth what Dr. Cairns has described as the five pillars of Christian knowledge. These are God's eternal election, his loving predestination, his effectual calling, his justification, and the ultimate glorification of the people whom he has called. Here is the foundation of the Christian's peace and assurance. Last time, Dr. Cairns explained what the Bible means by God's eternal election. Today, he deals with predestination, a subject which often arouses much unnecessary controversy. Simply put, it is God's determination that his people be conformed to the likeness of Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Will Return. The text is John chapter 14, verse 18, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He left us, and yet we are not left orphans. He is our comfort, and he is gone. But we are not comfortless. Our comfort is that he will come to us, and this is consolation enough to sustain us through his prolonged absence. Jesus is already on his way. He says, I come quickly. He rides post-haste toward us. He says, I will come, and none can prevent his coming, or put it back for a quarter of an hour. He specially says, I will come to you, and so he will. His coming is specially to and for his own people. This is meant to be their present comfort, while they mourn that the bridegroom doth not yet appear. When we lose the joyful sense of his presence, we mourn. But we may not sorrow as if there were no hope. Our Lord, in a little wrath, has hid himself from us for a moment. But he will return in full favor. He leaves us in a sense, but only in a sense. When he withdraws, he leaves a pledge behind that he will return. O Lord, come quickly. There is no life in this earthly existence if thou be gone. We sigh for the return of thy sweet smile. When wilt thou come unto us? We are sure that thou wilt appear. But be thou like a roe or a young hart. Make no tarrying, O our God.
Jesus.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Thank you. God is faithful to the people whom he foreknew. What is this foreknowledge? Acts chapter 2 verse 23 gives you really the nearest thing to a formal definition of it in the New Testament. There's a construction there, the original language that's in play, and you've got to understand it in Acts chapter 2 verse 23. I wasn't going to take time to turn this up, but since many of you may not have noted it in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to note it and keep it before you when you're talking about this foreknowledge of God. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, you could spend all night commenting in that text. You will notice immediately that the eternal purpose of God does not take away the responsibility of men for what they do. The death of Jesus Christ was according to divine foreknowledge and divine foreordination, and yet he said it was by your wicked hands. In other words, you're responsible for what you did. People who make the purpose of God that they don't know the excuse for their sin that they do know are in very dangerous ground. But that's by the way. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Put those together, that's one term. The word "and" has the force of "even." It's an explanation of what goes before. If you wanted to put it in graphic terms, predetermined counsel equals the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God equals the predetermined counsel of God. Now that's the Holy Ghost meaning of the word. So when we come to foreknowledge here, whom he did foreknow, we can say this is election. This is the foreordination of God's people in love. This is God setting his distinguishing love upon his people. Why did he do that? It's always a big question. When he addressed this question with the Jews back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, it comes down to this. You ask, why did I love you? I loved you because I loved you. That's it. You needn't look for any other cause. You look in vain for anything in you that caused God to love you. You look forever and you'll never find it if you're looking for anything that would have stirred the love of God. Look at what you were by nature. A mass of corruption from head to toe. Vile and full of sin. As wicked a rebel as the devil himself. As fit fuel for the dark, outer darkness of hell and its fire forevermore as the worst of the demons. Totally depraved, totally corrupt, totally rebellious, totally wicked. Nothing there for a holy God to be stirred to love other than what's in his own being. He loved because he loved. I thank God for sovereign love. If I was going to wait until God would find something in me worth loving, I'd be in hell forever. Sovereign love. Foreordaining love. Now see what comfort and assurance that brings, what peace it brings to the believer, because now we can say there's no condemnation. Why? Because God loved me before the world began. God loved me before creation was any more than a thought in his mind. God loved me and loves me eternally. That which he has commenced in eternity will not be derailed by the events of time. I have loved you, says the Lord, with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, though I'm in a world that perplexes I'm facing circumstances in my body, in my home, in my family, in my job. I'm facing circumstances in the nation that perplex. I don't understand, yet I know He understands. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I know it because of God's eternal covenant love. First divine act, whom He did foreknow. Second divine act, them He predestinated. Now, obviously, there's a very close connection between election and predestination. And yet, there's a distinction. If you want to have a divine description or definition of predestination, you should turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 28, where, again, the Apostle Peter is talking to the Jews, or he's actually talking about the Jews. He's in prayer, and he's saying that they did whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And the words determined before to be done literally would be translated predestined to happen, predestined to come to pass. That's it. What is this predestination? It is God's counsel. That's counsel. God's counsel, God's will, determining before what will be done. Now, some people immediately say, is that not fate? No. I mean, stop and think. And in Ireland, we would say, have a tit or a wit. If you don't understand what that means, then you have a whole lot of learning to do when you get to heaven. Have a wit, man. Fate is a blind, impersonal force. Of course, it doesn't exist. But in other religions and philosophies, it is a blind, impersonal force. This is the will and the purpose of the all-wise, all-holy, all-just, and all good Heavenly Father. World of difference. Here is the sovereign wisdom of God, the sovereign will of God, determining before what will be done. Now, he says, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. So now He's predestinating these people. What's He predestinating about them? Well, the text tells you He's fixing our destiny in advance. What is that destiny? To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the destiny of everybody whom God has loved with an eternal covenant love. To be conformed to the image of His Son. And that, my friend, is the definition of sanctification which will be brought to perfection and glorification. Now you can understand more fully the meaning of Romans 8:28. We know that all things are working together for our good. Our good is not necessarily our immediate comfort. Our good is not necessarily that we're going to love the circumstances in which we're placed. Our good is are being conformed to the image of Christ. Now, in many cases, that is a hard process as far as physical suffering is concerned. God deals with His people very differently. I know some people, some of the godliest and most gracious people I've ever known, and theirs has been a pathway of fellowship with Christ in suffering. But remember what Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, we all want that, don't we? Lord, let me know the power of the resurrection. But Paul says, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. There is no resurrection without death. There is no death without suffering. Some of the choicest instruments of God in the history of the church have been people whom he has allowed to be weakened in body. You ever read the list of the sufferings, for example, of a John Calvin? There are some snide historians who like to talk about Calvin. At times he could be acerbic in his manner of speech. He could be sharp in rebuke. I wonder what they would have been. When I read the list of the physical ailments, the intense agonies of body that dear man suffered every day of his life, and at the same time, by laborious correspondence, was carrying on a correspondence with the churches of Europe, writing by hand to people all over Europe, carrying the work of God, the care of all the churches, on one pair of frail human shoulders, in a body that was going down toward the grave, being sucked down every day by suffering that I could not begin to imagine. And then on top of that, the suffering, children dying at childbirth, then a wife dying. Some of God's people are called to go through a very dark period of suffering. What God is doing, I have found in so many of those cases, God is taking a vessel and he's sanctifying that vessel. And through the deep suffering, he is showing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our good is to be conformed to the image of his Son. We have bought in too easily to the so-called American dream that our good is to be able to buy what we want, when we want it, even if we don't need it. Our good is to be able to do what we want, whenever we want, go wherever we want. That's what I want, I want, I want. That's supposed to be our good. You raise your children that way, you'll raise a bunch of spoiled brats. And God's not in the business of raising spoiled brats. God's in the business of conforming us to the image of his Son. That's our destiny. But I want you to see this. This is not just a hope. This is a destiny that's fixed. And the beauty of it is this, that it's all for the glory of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When Jesus Christ came into the world, it was for the purpose of bringing many sons to glory. The Lord Jesus came into the world specifically on the mission of bringing an innumerable company out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation unto glory. God's eternal purpose was to ensure a multitude of sons who are taken out of the pit of sin and wickedness and darkness and conforming them to Christ, bring them to glory forever, with Christ forever standing at their head and throughout all eternity. All the praise that rises to the glory of the Redeemer. Oh, what glorious praise is brought to Christ. Why? You see him? You see her? Children of Adam. Black. Dark. Wicked. Sinners. But look at them now. Sanctified perfectly forever. In body and in soul, with spirits made perfect, sinless as the creation of an angel, with bodies conformed and made like unto his glorious body, Christ standing at the head of such a people. He has all the glory, as the hymn says, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. I want to tell you this. Anytime you talk of predestination, never forget God predestined His people to be conformed to the image of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.